Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. I pray, Father, please, that you glorify your Son. And Father, I pray that we'll meet with you, that we will know that you are in this place even in a greater way. And Father, as we direct our hearts and our minds to you, may we just be aware of you, dear Holy Spirit, pulling our heartstrings and our spiritual eyes, our spiritual ears to you. And I ask that you preach this message and accomplish your work through it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me tell you a little story real quickly. There's this truck driver that was pretty weary driving, you know, how they get really tired. And he stopped at a truck stop and went and got his food, ordered his food, and the food came to his table, and hamburger and fries and stuff. And in the meantime, there was this group of bikers that were coming in that were a really rough group. And as they came in, they decided to pick on this truck driver, and one came up and grabbed some fries off his plate and started grabbing that. Another one took his hamburger, and just being annoying and trying to prompt an argument and all this type of thing. So the guy just got up, went and paid his bill and left. And the waitress was there, and the bikers looked at the waitress and said, "Well, he's not much of a man, is he?" And she goes, "Well, you know what? I'm not so sure about that, because I know that, for one thing, I am sure about is that he's not a very good driver, because he just drove off over your bikes." Now, the point is that there's a certain element in our human nature that says, "Yes, got him back," right? There's a point that says, "Oh, you thought you were so good about what you were doing, but I got one up on you." And, you know, that's our human nature, to get revenge and to retaliate for wrong action. And yet God has called us to live a different nature than that. God wants us to stand out in this world for him by exhibiting his character or his nature, right? We're to exhibit God's character or his nature. And Jesus reveals four ways for us to exhibit his character and let others see his nature as we continue our study in Luke. And we're in Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 27. And the first thing is God's nature of initiating love. I like that. We have to take the responsibility to initiate God's love to people that don't deserve God's love. And yet, that's against our human nature. But what did God do for us? God initiated his love for us. Where at one time, the scripture says that all of us were counted as enemies of God. Whether we were mentally and focused to be an enemy against God and his word, or whether we weren't, we were all enemies of God. It even goes further to say that we were sons of Satan, of the devil. Wow, that's insulting. How can you say that? Because we were not sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And therefore, the prince of the air of this world, Satan himself, was the one that was prompting, leading, and motivating us to act in a way that's in a sinful nature and not in the way of God. But God wants us to live a godly nature. And that godly nature should be black and white. It should be night and day. It should be water and oil. It should have a distinction that stands out, that when other people, other Christians are seeing us, they go, "Wow, that's different." And so I want us to look again at Luke chapter 6, verse 27 through 36. "But I say to you who hear," those of you that want to hear what God has to say, those of you who are spiritually attuned, those of you that are looking to receive what God has for you to receive, a spiritual ear, "but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you." Is that our natural tendency? No. Our natural tendency is to slap down whomever hates us, to do whatever we can to pay him back. Someone keys your car, you're going to do something else, like break a windshield. There's retaliation that's in our sinful nature. But God says instead to love our enemies. There is a last story, okay, this morning. But there is a story that I read about these two neighbors. And the lady in one house had two prize hens. Yes, hens. Gobble, gobble, not turkey. I don't know how to do a hen. Anyways, two prize hens. And So one day, the prize hens got out of their coop, and they walked over, went over to the neighbor's yard, and got into his garden. Now, if you know about chickens, chickens are going to get in there, and they're going to scratch, and they're going to dig, and they're going to make a mess. And so they destroyed the guy's garden. So the guy that came out was so angry at these prize hens that he destroyed his garden that he took the hens and wrung both their necks and threw them over in the lady's yard. I mean, that got the point across that I was not happy about this happening, right? Well, the lady, when she found out, she was infuriated about it, but she kept her tongue. And so she went ahead and dressed out the chickens. Got them dressed out and made two chicken pot pies. She carried one of the pot pies over to the neighbor's house. Her children were watching behind the fence in the bushes, waiting for the guy to explode. She knocks on the door. He opens up the door. He's kind of surprised. And she goes and says to her neighbor, "I just want to apologize for allowing my hens to get out of their coop and go and wreck your garden. Please forgive me." The guy was shocked, and she's holding this chicken pie for him to take. But you know what? The result was that he forgave, and they became friends. You see, that's initiating God's love. We can say, "I am so mad at that guy, and that guy is so unjust," and we have all the proof, and everybody we can gather together would agree with us, and we could act in a way that would really be vengeful. But the Christian example is to initiate love. The humbleness of that woman that went to the door and said, "I'm very sorry, please forgive me." And she wasn't being sarcastic, "Out of the birds you killed, I made you a chicken pie." She was trying to be neighborly. And she acted in love toward them. And it diffused the anger. See, when we have enemies, if we respond in our natural way, the result is going to be more fire on the wood. But if we respond Christ's way, we can be used possibly to diffuse the anger, maybe even to become a friend, and maybe more importantly, to lead the person to Christ. And so Jesus says, love your enemies, because the Jewish culture was love your enemies and hate, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. That was Jewish culture. That's our human nature. We can do that. But God's way was not that way. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. How do we bless those that curse us? They go around behind our back and talk badly about us and tear down our character, tear down our name, all these types of things. We not only speak good of them, but we also make the efforts to uplift them and to encourage them when we have opportunity to do so. That's against our nature as well. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And that passage is often misunderstood, but we're talking about as far as reaching people with the gospel. It's talking about stepping out with God's grace and mercy. It's talking about representing Jesus. You care about a person. You reach out to them in the name of the Lord. You be kind to them, or you share Christ with them. You share the whatever God wants you to do to exhibit a Christian character, and the result is rejection. And God says, don't be discouraged by the rejection, but continue to submit yourself to even more rejection for the cause of that person, if need be. That's different than our conduct, because nobody likes to be rejected. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. If he takes your coat and your shirt, don't worry about it. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. You borrowed this 6 months ago. Can I have it back, please? You know, I'm not sure where the line is on that, but the point is that if someone wants something, that the Christian conduct is, let them have it. We're not to have a tight grasp on our possessions, because our possessions are given to us by God for his glory and for his purpose. And if we can not have a tight grasp that says they become almost our idol, our priority in life, but we loosely hold on to the things that we have, then when they other people have them, don't return them, or when our opportunity comes for us to give to others freely, we can without having that sense of real loss. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. We're to think about how we would like someone to treat us under given circumstances, and we're to apply that as well. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? It's easy for us to love people that love us because we love the feeling of being loved. And we can give that love back and know it's not going to be rejected. For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? They were kind to me, I'm going to be kind to them. But what's the point? Love those that don't love us, be good to those that are not good to us. It's a deliberate initiating of God's love for the sake of bearing witness of who Christ is in our life. To make a stance that we are not only Christians, but we are God's children in this world. And God's children live differently. God's children think differently. God's children respond differently because we reflect the character of God as we follow him. And so if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. The idea is not don't respond the way people normally respond. Respond in a way that brings glory to God. You have a conflict in your family. You have a relationship that's strained. You have a circumstance that's ugly. Ask God to show you how to stand for him in a way that reflects his love and character. That oftentimes requires us to be merciful. Giving what others don't deserve. We know it fully and rightly. They don't deserve that act of kindness. They don't deserve that credit. They don't deserve these things. But when we learn to show mercy because God has shown you and I mercy, we don't deserve to know Christ. We don't deserve his blessings. We don't deserve his salvation. We don't deserve what he's given to us, yet he still has given it to us, not by any merit of our own, but by God's loving grace and mercy. And when we can learn to reflect God's mercy, it requires us reflecting on what God has done for us. When we've really messed up before God, and we know it, and we're guilty, and we're shameful in our own spirit, and we're before God, and God removes that guilt so freely from us through our confession and repentance, we're sometimes amazed. We don't expect God to be that merciful, that easy with us. And yet he is. And we're to remember to do the same with others as well. Verse 34, and if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that of you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. Oh, I'm going to lend you back. I'm going to lend you something with the expectation that I'm getting something back from you. I'm going to be friendly to you with the expectation you're going to be friendly to me. I'm going to love you with the expectation that you're going to love me back. I'm going to fill in the blank with the expectation of what you want. That's not God's way. God's way is to love, simply to love, not expecting anything in return. And that's what God wants us to do. But love your enemies. That's only by God's power and grace, right, that we can do that. Only by God. Love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And look at this. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. I find it interesting that God, the Holy Spirit, led the writer here to put down, and you will receive rewards. Your reward will be great. When he's saying, don't look for anything in return, right? But at the same time, God's reminding us that he's fully aware of our sacrifice and our willingness to act in a manner that reflects him and his good character, and God will bless us for that. But then he also goes on to say, and I love this statement, and you will be sons of the Most High. To be identified by God by our behavior in faith and obedience to Christ here on earth as being his children, acting as his children, is a great honor when God acknowledges that. It's kind of like you and I saying, that's my boy, or that's my girl. And you can see the character, you know, you can see our character in them, hopefully the good character, right? And it makes us feel good. Well, when God sees his good character in us, it blesses him, it glorifies him, and he rewards us for that heart. Reading verse 35 over again, it says, but love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. God's kind to them, and we're God's children, then we should be kind to the unthankful and the evil as well. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. And your insert there, do good to those who hate you. Okay? Loving your enemies diffuses anger. And then in your insert it says, we love because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19. We don't love based upon condition. We love because God loved us first. So when somebody's really upsetting you, when somebody's in your face, when somebody's offensive to you, whatever, ask God for the humility to reflect on his mercy on us so that we can reflect God's grace and love toward others that don't deserve it. And we'll be acting as God's children. The second thing that God wants us to do is, besides loving our enemies to reflect his character, is, and I've already alluded to it, God's nature of giving grace and mercy. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Now, this judgment is so often, it's probably more quoted by non-believers in John 3:16 than it is by Christians. You know, don't judge me, judge not, and be not judged. But we know that Scripture tells us we shall know them by their fruit. We know that Scripture tells us to make the assessments. We know that there is discipline in the church as well. We know that these all require a type of judgment. So what is he talking about here? Judge not, and you shall not be judged. What type of temperament do you and I have? Is our temperament one that's known to be judgmental of others, that's quick to judge others with a condemning attitude? Be careful. Because what we do in our behavior will give license to others to do the same thing to us. If we're quick to judge, to commend, and that condemned, and that is part of our character, and people see that, then other people will have no problem in their conscience judging and condemning us when they find opportunity to do so. So we need to be careful about that. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. So don't have the crusty, critical, judgmental, quick to condemn attitude. Don't be like that, because it's just going to come back on us from others. But instead, forgive. Invest in being a forgiving person. And people will find themselves more gracious in forgiving us. Give, and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. That's kind of an Old Testament thing that we don't understand. But in the Old Testament days, the apron, or if women wore they had a long skirt or robe or whatever. Men had robes too. They didn't have pants like, in the old biblical days. Right? And if they were going to go get some food or whatever, like dried beans or rice or whatever, the person that was distributing it would take the beans and they would put it into a container, but they would shake it down. It's kind of like getting a bag of Lay's potato chips. A bag this big and the chips are this full. Just such a wreck. Right? But it's compressed down and it's filled all the way. And so what he's saying here is that when we are loving, when we are forgiving, when we give and are good to others, that it'll come back to us pressed down, condensed down in quantity, and it'll be laid in a, back in our lap. Because that's how they used to get, the guy would compress it down, and they would hold their robe out, and they would dump the contents of what they compressed down into their robe, and they'd walk off, and it was overflowing. And that's the point here in this passage, is give, and it will be given to you. We should be cheerful givers for God. Given it will be given for you, good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So if we're judging, the same measure is going to come back. Judging to condemn, that is, right? If we're forgiving, it'll come back as we are free to forgive. If we are doing good to others, it'll come back to us as doing good to others. To us as well. And he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Now I want to bring us back in the focus here that what's being talked about here in this context is the spiritual guidance or religious implications here for the believer to be the sons of God, to be the children of God, or to make these differences, to be loving, to be forgiving, to be sowers of good, to not be condemning, all these types of things, right? But it's all for the hope that we in our conduct and the personality that reflects the personality of God, which is different than our natural personality, our natural human tendencies, that someone would come to know the Lord. And so he uses this parable and he says, can the blind lead the blind? He's actually saying, those of you that follow those that lead against the truth of God's word, whatever religion, whatever faith, whatever practice that is against the way of God, the blind will lead the blind. So if you and I as believers, as Christians, behave in our natural way, then we're not leading the people in the right path. We're leading them to problems, right? We're not forgiving, we're not giving, we're not loving, then we're showing an example that this leads others, because whether we realize it or not, whether it be our children, our neighbors, our co-workers, if they know we're Christians, they're going to look to see how we behave. And how we behave will affect them. And so Christ says, can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? Your example, if it's not following God, is going to lead someone astray. It's not good. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. If we're going to follow Christ, we're going to be like Christ. If we choose not to follow Christ, then we're not going to be like him. That simple. Going to church doesn't make us like Christ. But giving our heart to him and seeking him and focusing on him on a daily basis as our Lord and Savior, walking with him, will transform us. It's not the act of religion that makes us the good Christian. It's the relationship of intimacy with Christ on a regular basis, day by day, that transforms our lives. And so, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? You don't know how badly I wanted to demonstrate that here this morning with some sort of illustration. I was going to go get some PVC pipe and strap it to the inside of my hat, but I have this huge pole out in my head and try to help somebody, and it's in the way, and they've got a speck in their eye, and they're wiping their eye. If you can't follow it, it's okay, because it didn't happen, but I wanted to do it, okay? But the idea is that if we want to help people come to a right relationship with God, and we're not willing to look at our own selves honestly, humbly before God, with a repentant heart, with a genuine heart, with a self-examining heart that's wide open before God, for God to reveal to us what he wants to reveal to us at the time, to help us to be better people in Christ, then we're not going to be that help to others to come to a right relationship with God or a growing relationship with God. So, or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove the speck that's in your own eye, when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite. That's putting on a mask. You're not being who you really are. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. Going back to judgment, don't be quick to judge or condemn. Why? Because when a person is quick to judge and condemn another person, the truth is they haven't examined themselves very closely. If we examine ourselves closely before God, we're going to be humbled before God. We're going to see God's mercy on us. We're going to see God's grace. We're going to see God's love. We're going to see His tenderness with us. We're going to see the goodness of God that He ministers to us, even though we don't deserve it. And when we see that in reality for who we are, then it should soften us toward maybe the weaker in faith, or those that, whatever the circumstances are, to where we're not quick to be high and mighty, God, and blast them. That's not what God wants us to do. Don't be quick to judge or condemn. Grace and mercy direct people to God. When we show mercy, that's giving what people know they don't deserve. When we, like our enemies, let's say, or when we show grace, that kindness to others, then it directs people to God. And that's part of the earmark of being one of God's children, is that we're loving toward our enemies, and we show mercy, and we show grace. And this is what Christ does with us. We're to emulate what Christ does with us, with others, because we are the family of God. We are the body of Christ. We are in Him, and He is in us. So in your insert, it says, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy." You understand what that's saying there? If we're judgmental and we do not practice mercy, giving those things that people don't deserve but being kind to them anyways, then we won't receive mercy. But mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs. We should be so much more fulfilled and blessed in our relationship with Christ when instead of showing judgment on people and condemning them and trying to make ourselves feel better, by showing mercy, God blesses and He's glorified and people are encouraged. God's nature of mercy triumphed over His judgment of us. God's nature of mercy triumphed over His nature or judgment of us. If God wasn't merciful to you and I through the cross, we would have no hope. We would have no eternal life. We would have no joy in the Lord. We would have no blessings from Him. In fact, I believe God would have just wiped out mankind and said, "That's it." Thirdly, God's nature of bringing forth good fruit. Luke 6:43-45. "For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush, a real prickly bush. A good man out of the good measure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks." First characteristic of God's children, that we love our enemies. Second characteristic is that we show mercy and grace. Third characteristic, okay, is that we have a life that what comes out of who we are, as people get to know us, see the goodness of God and not the evil. People will know us for who we are and the consistency of our faith and our relationship with Christ. We will get to know people for truly who they are if we spend time with them. And we should see the good as God's children coming out of us. And so we're to make sure that we live in a way that is humble before God, that is seeking His purpose and His way, that reflects His character, and people will see that goodness as truly a characteristic of who we are. We will be known for being that godly character. Be known for your godly character, and you should not be bearing bad fruit, but good fruit. And your insert says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, Against such there is no law. Do we see these virtues in our life? Do we see this type of good fruit? Do we see us loving our enemies, loving people outside of our own human nature? Do we see joy in our life? Do we see peace in our life? Do others see that in us? Do people see us long-suffering, enduring the difficult times by faith? Do people see kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control? This is all product of the Holy Spirit as we yield to God in our life. And that's the evidence of the good tree. And that's what we should be seeing. And lastly, God's nature of building on a good, strong foundation. Kind of touched on it a little bit when I said, when we examine ourselves and we see God's mercy, it helps us to be merciful and kind to others. But in Luke 6:46-49, it says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" How many times do we hear people say, "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh yeah, I go to church." But their life shows something completely different than the Christian value system. That's hypocrisy. And so Jesus says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" We know in Scripture it says that in Revelation that there are those that will stand before him and say, "Lord, Lord," and Jesus will respond to them, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." It's not mouth service. It's life service, who we are. "Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like." Now Jesus is saying, look, if you hear what I taught you and you apply them to your life, then this is the type of person that you and I will be like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep. Now what's the key to digging deep? Security, a strong holding underneath. If you build on top of sand, we know the parable, don't we? There's no security for the building. But if you take the pain to dig down, you know, in Florida, there's a lot of, and even in Florida Keys, a lot of homes that are built on stilts. And they drive these stilts way down into the bedrock underneath the ocean floor. You got these houses built over the water. And they have these stilts that are driven down. They drill and drill and drill. They pound these, have huge machines, and they just pound these concrete pillars down, 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 and down again, as deep as they can to establish them. Then they build their house on that. When the hurricanes come through the Keys or South Florida or whatever, The house is secure, and the water and the winds that are sometimes 200 mile an hour winds. You get a 16 penny nail flying in a 200 power an hour wind. And yet you see the building stand. But a lot of the ones that weren't built securely were just rolled away. And we see that even with some of the hurricanes and the tornadoes that we see. And so we have to dig deep into our own souls, into our own lives, into our own thinking. We have to earnestly seek God and see who we are and deal with who we are before God, and then ask God to give us the grace to apply the principles he wants us to in our life, dying to ourselves and living for him. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Question, are you and I confident that your life and my life is founded, secured on Jesus? So when trouble comes in the family, when trouble comes in finances, when trouble comes in life, when the banks crash and you don't have your finances, whatever, that people see us actually calm and secure because our relationship is dependent upon Jesus. That's what's important. And when people see that security, they go, "How come you can be so calm? How come you can be so at peace with what's going on?" Because my Lord's in control and my life is built on him. But that takes That takes really digging deep in our heart and learning to consistently rely on Him. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing, you hear the word, but you don't apply it. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. On the news, you see houses that are being swallowed up by sinkholes. Not much foundation underneath there. Wasn't even investigated. Central Florida. A lot of sinkholes, a lot of homes that have gone down in the sinkholes. Pretty scary. God's nature was seen in Christ, the rock, the foundation, the cornerstone. Christ is our security, our rock, our foundation, our cornerstone. Let others see your security in Christ. Build your life upon God's rock, God's foundation, God's cornerstone. Finally, lastly, in that insert, for no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, build, that's an active verb continuing, build upon it with those things that cannot be burned up. 1 Corinthians 3:11 to 13. Build your life on Christ. And you're not just be investing your life in the things that have been in this world, but you're investing in things that will last eternally. The things that are done with the right heart, God will judge and God will reward for eternity. That's what that passage of Scripture refers to. When people see our behavior being different than human nature, loving our enemies, not judging the condemned, being merciful and gracious, being a solid rock, in Christ, standing on Him. When people see our behavior being different than human nature, they will see God's nature in us. God will be glorified, and lives may be touched for Him. Hey, we have an opportunity to shine like the stars in the sky for Christ as His children. Standing differently, behaving differently, living differently, focused differently, and reacting differently than the world does in their sinful nature, but reacting in the way that God would react. And it glorifies Him. Praise God for that. So let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank You for Your word. And dear Lord Jesus, thank You for preaching Your word at this time when this was recorded. And Father, You're teaching us to be Your people, to be Your children, to have the characteristics of You, being that we are part of You and You are in us, we are in You, and we are to reflect the character of God and not the character of our sinful nature. So Father, help us with these things. And I pray, Father, please, that if there's anyone that needs to make a decision today, needs prayer, needs to receive You as their Savior, needs to decide to get baptized or rededicate their life or join the church or whatever the case might be, may they do so. But Father, I just pray You just encourage each one of us to love You more and more and more every day. And in doing so, we will have Your character more clearly in our lives for others to see. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.